Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA, and we're going to be talking about, legacy media today. We're going to be talking about Google and Ritson and some really, really good thoughts from Mark. So, but before we do, I just wanted to take you over to this fun billboard, which is from the Travel Supermarket. They took 100 pool toy inflatables. The Travel Supermarket puffs 100 pool inflatables for Manchester billboard. I always like 3D. I like 3D on billboards. I like 3D in mailers, right? Here's a 3D calendar I got. Although it wasn't 3D when I got it, but I opened it up and I got engagement, and that's how it works, right? Always best to have 3D if you can. We're 3D people. In our heads, right? So here's the billboard, and it's trying to get across this idea of a wide variety of possibilities with Travel Supermarket. Supermarket for Travel, done by Jack Arts and Brazilian Street Art, to reflect the wide range of opportunities. James Cross, the creative officer and founder of Meanwhile, said, a lot of determination and a lot of puff from the whole Meanwhile team crew to create this beaut for Travel Supermarket. The one-off billboard. So what's the point of that? Now, there's a problem. You know, if it's worth doing, isn't it worth doing more than once? But who knows? How do you measure that? You know, you can't. Would have been better off probably doing a mailer with a pop-up, as we had from Summer Gould last week. Let's get right to the meat of it. Google must adapt to a world where search engines are legacy technology. And, of course, I remember the breakthrough of Google, those of you who don't know the history. When we started out with Dogpile and other search engines, I mean, I was on the Internet before it had search engines. You just type anything you wanted, you know, whitetail.com, and up would come a website. That's how you did it. You guessed what a name would be, and you guessed, and sometimes it came up, and most of the time it didn't. And so then, actually, Dogpile was a file search, I think. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, so there were these search engines, and they would take the metadata. They would look at a website, and whatever the website author put into it, they would give it to you. So the problem was, if you owned whitetail.com, there might be 100 other pages in front of you, SEO, search engine optimization, that had the word whitetail hidden 1,000 times in their site description metadata. There's an area in HTML and World Wide Web where you can describe your web page and what's in it. And they thought, you know, when they built that people would be honest about it. Tell us what your site's about and we'll find it for people. But that didn't work. What happened was the search engines and the web designers collaborated to build a world where the more promotional you were in your web description, the more likely it was that you got seen. And the big breakthrough for Google was, it was just a very simple breakthrough. But they said, you know what, instead of trusting the web developer, let's trust other web developers. Let's look at the world from the perspective of who thinks the website is useful, who thinks the website is worth going to. So we'll look for links that are hidden or that are portrayed on other websites, and whatever websites have the most links back to them, those are the ones we'll feature. So I was on the board of the WDMA back when the internet got started. I was one of the original founders, I suppose, or charter members or something. George Mosher really founded it. And in 1986, we had our first meeting, so it was well before the internet. But when the internet got going, you know, we were always comparing ourselves with the Chicago DMA. It wasn't called that. It's called the CADM, I think it's. No, CDMA. No, CADM, I think it is, yeah. Anyway, they long since abandoned direct marketing. Gone with digital. But in those days, we would compare, and they were ranked higher. And I said, well, how many of you board members have links to the WDMA, where, you know, you have a hot link where it says that you're a member of the WDMA? And nobody did. I said, I bet if we all go home and tell our web designers to put a link down, you know, there was only like six of us maybe. I said, I bet that'll boost our SEO. And sure enough, we leapfrogged Chicago just by that one little tiny act, which shows you how powerful it was back in the early days of the internet. That's what got Google started. And when they went into phone and voice, what got them started, IBM had been working on speech recognition for decades. I actually talked to one of the scientists who'd worked on it for like 17 years. And I said, does it bother you that Google put it together in like 6 months? He said, well, if we would have had that data set, it's important, don't forget those words. If we would have had that data set, we could have done it too. Well, what was the difference between the Google data set and the IBM data set? IBM tried to listen to the voice. They tried to listen. They tried to get as much data as they could and understand the data. That's a sort of a good picture of the advertising world today, especially in digital. We want to gather all the data we can get as much as much data as we can, and then we'll let some kind of machine learning sort it out. Did it work? No, never worked. I remember my brother-in-law doing a demo of IBM Naturally, or Dragon Speaking. It was, yeah, Dragon Speaking or Naturally Speaking. Anyway, and he wasn't getting it to work. We were all gathered around his computer because he was telling people that he actually used this for work. And maybe he was nervous. I don't know what happened. But it was just making a mess of it. And he said, what is wrong with this computer? That's what he said. And up on the screen it said, you are wrong with this computer. And we just howled. It was great. That's where IBM was after years and years and years of trying. And I actually tried it several times on his recommendation. And I found that after reading pages of text into the computer where it knew what the words were and tried to understand the nuances of your voice, after pages of that, it did worse than it did out of the box without knowing me at all. Maybe because I have such a great speaking voice. But anyway, what Google did instead, completely opposite, Google, because they had the Android and because they had people trying to use the talk to text, they kept track of the mistakes that they were making, that Google was making in interpreting the words. They kept track of when people backspaced over a word and put a new word in. Brilliant. Brilliant. The other thing was they gave you a selection of words that it could possibly be instead. Like their search engine, Google was humble about the search results. Even if they were pretty confident about the words, when you type in Washington, you might mean the president, the state, the university, you know, the kind of apple. There's a lot of Washingtons around. And so they would give you a variety. Bing would always try to guess the one you wanted, which means that most of the search results weren't the one you wanted, for sure. Now, Google, they also weren't the one you wanted, but Bing would be focused on one. They wouldn't even give you a variety. That's why I never used Bing. Okay? I know that you don't want all this background, but it's important. Okay, so now Mark Ritson is asking, is it becoming redundant? And the way this article starts out, after years and years of picking what he thought were hot stocks, he finally decided to pick one that everybody agreed on. He said, pump it into Alphabet this past year. And as soon as he said that, he knew that it was going to work out badly. Since I bought into Google's parent company for $150, it's plummeted down 10%. It's like never goes down. It's not a slam dunk. Don't ever take stock recommendations from a marketing person. The problem really is that, you know, the best ideas are 20 years ahead of their time. And the person who comes up with them rarely is the one who makes it into a money-making operation, right? I mean, Google was lucky in that sense that someone with money got that this was a breakthrough. And then once that happened, then they had enough money to worry and to have other fun. Okay, but most of the time that doesn't happen. So the visionary is rarely the one who makes money on the invention, right? Okay, so Google put out Gemini, and it was a joke. It was fun. It was literally fun. Let's see if I actually have that Gemini article. I didn't bring it up, but I do have a place to find it, maybe, which is a shame because I worked on this. There it is. Okay, let's try it. We're going to open it, and you're going to see the images. Yeah. Unfortunately, I did not upload that from my computer at home. So let's see if we get this. If this works, it'll be a miracle, as usual. Let's try this. Okay, there it is. Okay, so here's some examples of Gemini trying to work properly. And I deliberately left them kind of small. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Let's see if we can get this to fit in there a little better. Nope, not probably. Okay, so how about a portrait of a founding father of America? There's George Washington with an Indian headdress. Here is Black George Washington. Here are some images of Vikings. Okay, that's great. Really, those are really kind of scary looking. This is a woman Viking. You might not recognize that. Here's some more George Washingtons. This is a Chinese Black George Washington. Not sure. I don't know. Anyway, Gemini apparently came up with all of these. This is the Pope, an image of the Pope, of a Pope. And this is a woman. Looks like she is Indian, I would say. And here's a Black Pope, which there hasn't ever been. And apparently Google added three little prompts behind the scenes to their Gemini offering. And what that did was it they were trying to avoid that AI picks up on social prejudice. Regardless of the accuracy or hurtfulness of these stereotypes, AI just says, well, there's a lot of this on the internet, right? There's a lot of men who are farmers, or there's a lot of, you know, whatever, right? White men who are electricians. I don't know. I mean, you know, I was looking at geodemographics and state of Pennsylvania, and 10% are Black. So any occupation you pick almost is going to be mostly white. Sorry, it's just the way it is in America. You wouldn't think so sometimes these days. But anyway, those are not stereotypes. Those are demographics. It's a little different. But in order to avoid those, Google added to avoid kids, don't generate pictures of kids, and include an equal spread of people of different genders and ethnicities, irrespective of what the user might have asked for or what the topic might typically dictate. See, all of a sudden Google is, instead of that humility that Google used to have, now they're basically telling you, we're going to do this to you. We're going to give you wide variety of ethnicity and gender, even if it's if it's insane. It has no bearing on reality, no matter what. We're going to override it and not reveal any of this to the user. And it created silly stuff, and that was the silly stuff. And the difference between this and search engine results is that when you get these silly results, you know it's Google's fault, right? You were sold on Google as the best search engine 2 decades ago and have not ventured anywhere else since. Actually, I use DuckDuckGo. It's a little more humble than Google. It seems to be. It seems to give me good results. Every now and then, if I really can't find something, I will venture into Google because it is a wider net. And the same with Gmail and the same with Google Maps. I use Waze because I can edit it. Okay, so now the disruptor is disrupted. Okay, you go into Google If the subsequent responses are stupid, it's the fault of Gemini, not you. With search results, you say, well, maybe I should have said George Washington. Or maybe I should have said George Washington President Images. Or gotten more specific. You know, maybe I need to help this thing out. Not with AI, okay? Because of this team of ham-fisted attempts to apply diversity to the AI, the outcome had become hilariously inappropriate. And now the president of Google has to apologize to the very people that he didn't mean to offend, that he was trying not to offend, instead of worrying about the truth. Okay, as a brand like Google softens internally, it becomes associated with past, the past externally, with the 1990s, with your Uncle Terry, with PCs, Windows, and old stuff. Okay, and so as brands become legacy, they start to think they deserve market share. Okay, and we're seeing a bit of a tsunami come through with this cookie thing, right? All of a sudden, the internet isn't working like it's supposed to with advertising. Okay, when Serge Brin and Larry Page met, they were broke. They should fear the 21st century version of themselves. Two unlikely college kids sitting in an Ivy League bedroom, or maybe in a tech school bedroom, working on AI, eating pizza, and not caring what anyone thinks. Okay, and here's the part I really wanted to talk about. The original mission of Google. Our mission is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and usable. Okay, as we were overloaded with information, the issue became how to manage it. Okay, and we heard about data. We heard about database marketing, database decision making, databases, data lakes, big data, and computer-driven learning and machine learning, and all of that. And that may be an issue with the organization of information. But what if you just want the answer? And that's where direct mail comes in. That's where direct marketing comes in. In order to get the right answer in science, we don't set up a scientific experiment to look in every direction all the time. There are an infinite number of variables that we could take into account in any scientific experiment. But we don't want a million variables. We want to know what the key variables are that have causal impact on whatever it is we're studying. And we can do that best with direct mail because it's easy to isolate. It's easy to split test, A-B split. We know who we're marketing to. We know they engage with it because mail does not throw itself away. And therefore, we can set up scientifically valid experiments. The days of infinite data are gone. Now are the days of really knowing something for sure. I had an exciting time over the weekend. We had a Saturday meeting, and the CMO of a new client of mine actually got it. It's not that he doesn't have a background in direct mail, but I was explaining how direct mail can tell us things for sure. And then we roll it out to social media, rather than trying to track people around the internet, every browsing history and all kinds of nonsense that doesn't have any relevance to what we're trying to do. You know, that's like trying to point a telescope everywhere in the sky. All you'll get is a wide-angle lens, and you won't be able to see anything. In order to know what's going on, you have to have a little more precision, and it has to be scientist-guided. And that's what we offer in direct mail. We'll be talking more about this. Right? But what made Google great for one era makes it weaker for the next. And that is where that's what we're seeing with digital marketing. Digital marketing is fraud and smoke and mirrors in the worst possible way. And anybody who knows what's under the covers should not be selling it. But happily, most people don't know. But if you know and you want to know more, get involved with the WDMA. Give me a call. Join. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Bye-bye.